Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You know, I mean, that's not exclusive to just black women, though.
No, I know. But, you know, it's crazy.
See, white women don't want you to know about it, but, I mean, it's there. I mean,
They do it different. They do the, like, in the Brazilians, they do the string by string, the hair by hair.
Yeah.
So you can't tell because no track.
Right.
I've been gluing tracks on, man, since 98, dog. My sister said, boo,
because you
boo,
got sisters, right?
Boo, can you come here? Got the. I've come from the gray glue to put patches in the head to, like, the net. The braids with the net over it, now to the lace front. I ain't seen all the evolutions of weave. And this is the thing. It is no way is that many bald monks around to supply the whole world with hair. And everybody's saying this human hair. It's like when Cat Williams was talking about how y'all got a shortage in thighs, but y'all got thighs. At last I checked, a chicken got two wings and two thighs. So if it's wings, then it should be thighs. If it's thighs, it should be wings. Where y'all getting this chicken from, man? Where you getting all this chicken from, son? Where you getting all these chicken wings from?
It's
impossible to have that many chicken wings with all the people that eat them from Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever. It's a big thing. So it's impossible for people to have synthetic hair when people I know or girls I know probably get hair done every week, different Yaki 2000, and it takes bundles of hair. It ain't that many people, you know, walking around like Golden Child cutting their hair off and giving them to people. It's impossible. That's fake hair. You don't even know it. They're growing this in a lab. It's fake hair. Oh, this is that. This is that Nubian Swahili man. Get the hell out of here, man. So that's fake hair. That's fake hair, man.
No, it is. You're not buying that it's Corinthian leather. You're not falling into that.
Yeah, I'm not falling for the Corinthian leather, man. That's synthetic hair. Made in a lab somewhere, and somebody laughing at y'all, and they putting a different wave
this
in and
fine
a different
Nigerian
oil on.
Princess hair.
Yeah, this is virgin. This is virgin.
This is straight from Wakanda.
Back hair. Like we blended back hair,
back hair,
back hair for waves, armpit hair.
Oh my God!
Hell out of here.
You are special. All right, it is hour number three. We got calls at 800-919-3776. I mean, I'm putting this list together as a caller tried to suggest that Julius Randle is not even in the top 20 of Nick players. And I'm making this list, and I want to see if we can come up with names. And I'm going to throw some names at you to say, is he ahead of him or behind him? We're going to do all that stuff. So get your calls ready here, as we got plenty of you already on hold. But, Bart, it's hour number three. This has been a wild day. It's been a fun day, as always. When it's hour number three and it's Bart and Han, what's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Yes,
it's the power hour. It's the power hour.
The power hour.
It's a power hour.
Yes. And last night, Julius Randle had a power quarter, third quarter. Franchise record 25 points.
One for the ages.
He had 52 going into the fourth quarter. 10 behind Carmelo Anthony's franchise record of 62. And yet, he could get to 57. That was it. The Knicks just could not get stops, and they lose 141-34. So, you know, Randle has a great night, but he can't even enjoy it. He really, because you lose a game. And it was a frustrating way to lose the game. So maybe years from now, he can look back and say, yeah, I had a 57-point game. But in reality, they needed him to get about 60.
Such a results-driven person. You know, I try to focus on the process a little bit more. And are we taking the necessary steps to get better and build as a team? So hopefully I will be able to tonight, probably not. You know, I'm a little upset about the loss.
Yeah, you can't enjoy it when you lose a game like that. A lot of frustration from the Knicks is a terrible defensive game, which is very much out of character for them. Now you got a back-to-back in Florida. Play Miami and then Orlando in a back-to-back situation. Only 9 games left in the season. Playoffs are right there on the verge. I mean, they're you know, a couple of wins away from locking it down. They want to get a top 6 spot. They're still sitting 5th right now, 2 games over the Nets, and about 3 games back, I think, of 4th with Cleveland. So, again, still some work to be done, but we're getting closer to the finish line of the season. And so as a result of this conversation, we're just talking about Randle, and the first question we asked was, has he at least started to move the needle for you? Because we know what happened last year. And a lot of fans still have that thing with him. They're like, yeah, he could score.
Yes, but.
And that's what the caller said. But there's always that yes, but that comes after what you say positively about Randle. But then we had a guy say, man, he's not even a top 20 player in franchise history. And that's when I'm like, you know what? that's a list that I don't think is that easy to make.
Yeah.
So let's go with the obvious ones, Bart. Ewing,
Clyde, Monroe,
Willis Reed, DeBuscher, Bradley, Barrett, Monroe, all the guys from the championship team, right? All of them. All right, that's seven. Then we go to the all-time greats from the past, where you've got, Carl Braun, Dick McGuire, Richie Guerin. All right, those are Harry Gallatin. You want to throw him in there as well. Guys that nobody, unless you're a diehard Knicks fan, you don't know who they are, but their jerseys are hanging in the building. All right, actually, I don't think Braun's is, but Dick McGuire, obviously, his is. Guerin's not either, but Guerin's a big-time scorer. But those are the names. All right, then let's go with another obvious one. Carmelo Anthony, right? Obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at 12.
J.R. Smith?
Stop. Charles Oakley, would you put him as an all-time great? I think so. With all the rebounding performances he had, yeah, you have to, right?
Okay.
Bernard King, right?
Bernard only King played. Should be above Oakley.
Now, keep in mind, Bernard barely played three seasons.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries. So, yeah, I'm not – these aren't power rankings,
but
by the way.
But amazing he came back from the
– Yeah, that – forget it.
First one to do that.
And the biggest mistake made – and, by the way, Rick Pitino was the reason why, ironically, as today is the day he's introduced as St. John's coach. But Rick Pitino, who was the coach at the time, he told the Knicks, we're not re-signing Bernard King because the way I want to play, he's going to be too slow off that knee injury.
Mm.
And they moved on from him, and that was a huge mistake. But that was Pitino's decision to move on from Bernard King. So Bernard's on that list. That puts us, 14. And this is not power ranks. I know I said Oakley before Bernard, but Bernard's clearly on the list. Melo, I already said. What do you go? Sprewell, Allen Houston, right? Those guys have to be there. Do you put Larry Johnson on that list?
Nah.
He played really well.
Grandmama is big in theory and name.
Yeah.
But Julius is a better player at this time than Grandmama. Grandmama was a little older when he got here, right?
He was, yeah, he was. John Starks?
Is he on that list? He's an all-time Nick, but I don't
know. He is, but do you put him ahead of Randall?
As of right now, yeah.
All right. That's where I'm at right now. I'm at 19. That's 19. If you're taking Larry Johnson off the list, I'm at 18. So that's the thing. Who goes on, who goes off, and where does Randall factor in? All those names I just gave you. And remember, I gave you names from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. McGuire, Braun, Guerin, Gallatin. You know, these are guys, most of you listening have no idea who I'm talking about. They're all Hall of Famers, though. Well, Guerin's not, actually. they're all-time greats in the history of the franchise. They are. They're all-time greats. So you've got to consider them on the list here. It's like, that's like talking about, Berra, those guys, DiMaggio, you have to include them. But I'm telling you right now, it's not easy to get to 20 if you're going to start going with LJ, Anthony Mason, you know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about.
Those guys were role players at that time. What, call in and tell us.
800-919-3776. We're getting the call set up. We're getting them ready. We had to reset, so we made sure we get fresh calls on this. But this is Mel in New Jersey's going to start us off, and I figured we were going to get this one. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was thinking Stephon Marbury, but also Jamal Crawford, too. So what do you think about those two?
You're going to put Stephon Marbury or Jamal Crawford ahead of Julius Randle? Neither guy played in the playoffs for the Knicks. At least Randle has gone to the playoffs.
And headed back to the playoffs twice.
You know, Marbury wasn't an all-star as a Knick. Remember, it's as a Knick, not his whole career. I love Jamal Crawford. Love him. Great guy. Actually, he just celebrated a birthday. But I don't know if we can put Jamal Crawford on a list like that. Now, Jamal's had, he's had big performances, obviously. Yeah, I think he had a 50-point game. But is that, is that a name you're putting ahead of him? I don't know if you're doing that. Drew and Nutley. Drew.
Hey, Alan. How's
doing?
It going?
Good.
I think you're forgetting Mark Jackson from the New York Knicks.
Rookie of the year, right? Playoffs. He did have a playoff series win. He was part of that team that swept the Sixers. The famous broom scene on the floor at the Spectrum. So that's a name that you could put there on that list for sure. Yeah.
I was thinking Derek Harper, too, but I don't know if he's
Derek
up there, Jack.
Derek Harper.
Well, look, the one thing you say about Derek Harper is that if the Knicks won the finals that year, he would have been the finals MVP.
Yeah. Y'all call him Derek Harper. I call him Gordon.
He loves our show, by the way. I love Derek Harper.
Oh, Gordon likes our show or Derek Harper?
Derek Harper.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him in Dallas, and he was talking about our show. Eric in the Bronx. Eric.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How are you? Hey, it's the one guy you forget all the time, Michael Ray Richardson. He was on a bad Knicks team, but if he would have kept his head on straight, he would be one of the best scorers the Knicks ever had.
Well, he was a great two-way player. He was a great defender and all those things. Like he was a fantastic player, but you're right. He went through a lot of troubles. Now, you want to hear a funny story, Bart? I heard him tell this story. So this is not one that I got from anyone else. This is from the horse's mouth. Michael Ray told this story about how when Hubie Brown, the great Hubie Brown, took over as Knicks coach, he had the players sit in the locker room and he had a meeting like with the group. And he went around the room to each player giving them a critique of their game. He gets to Michael Ray Richardson, who at the time was their best player. But he was also, you know, getting into trouble in New York City like a lot of athletes in the early 80s were getting into. And he admits himself, you know, to this day, he talks about, like, things that he regrets from those days. But Hubie gets to him, and he said, every team has a blank hole, and you're it. And as he goes on to the next player, Michael Ray said, I interrupted, I said, hang on a second, coach, you're wrong. There's two on this team. Me and you.
Take that, mother.
Yeah. The next day, he was traded for Bernard King. I mean, that's one of those all-time stories. But he's the one who told it on one of his documentaries. I just love one of my favorite stories. 800-919-3776. So, all right, we've got Mark Jackson, somebody added. I don't know if we put Michael Ray in the top 20. I don't know if we do that. But B in the Bronx got some names for us. Go ahead, B.
Yeah, man, you got to add on. He just added Mark Jackson. Okay, I like Gerald Wilkins, man. Don't sleep on Gerald Wilkins.
Whoa.
Anthony Mace. Mace put in work offensively and defensively. Mm-hmm. Mace was that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Charles Smith. I know everybody's mad at him because he missed that shot in the playoff. But Charles Smith was a
Charles Smith.
I love. Oh,
he was a position. He was a role player.
B, I'll give you. I'll give you Mark. I'll even say that Mace should be in the conversation. But when you go to Charles Smith, we can't do that. We can't do that. Justin in the Bronx, Justin.
Oh, we got what is it? Showtime and Gerald Wilkins was what? Airtime?
Yeah, Gerald, come on, man. Dougie was a good player, but I mean,
what about your boy Wallace?
Rashid. John Wallace, J Dub,
Rashid.
Oh, Rashid was only there for a cup of coffee. Yeah, that's the problem. Is there's a lot of those in Knick history. Tracy McGrady played for the Knicks for like 10 games.
That was an awesome 10 games.
it was a great 10 games.
Denver's real.
Do you like this stuff, Bart? I don't know if athletes care about this.
I think they do. Like, listen,
you. I'm asking you.
Do you listen,
when we do this and say, like, where do you rank all – where do you rank all time in linebackers in Jets history?
Yeah, like in the Ravens, like they put me on the list, like next to Ray, like as all time. And, you know, to me, thinking about the history of that position and the ballers that have been like the Scottie Pippen to Ray Lewis on the side for me to be the one that they decided to put, to me, I took that as an honor being an undrafted free agent, being able to make a list that had Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, Haloti Ngata, like those are all first ballot or first round draft picks. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one that don't kind of fit. You know what I mean?
Well, you do fit.
I mean,
because when you played, you were impactful, right? That matters.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you came from.
Yeah, I'm just saying on the list of everybody they picked, I'm the only one like what name don't look like the others?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
because
they got Charles Woodson. I mean, they have Rob Woodson.
Right, those are brand names you're talking about that came out of college, all brand names, right? And you weren't a brand name.
Yeah,
but you came from the same college of Walt Clyde Frazier.
I was King Vitamin. they were Captain Crunch. Like, how does King Vitamin get in here?
Right. They were all Fruit Loops, and
I'm crunchy and delicious. It just takes me double the time for the milk to soak soak it in to make it.
Right, I break your teeth.
Oh, I think Raw may have one. I forgot about that.
800-919-3776 As we're trying to put, again, we're trying to get the call.
Now this one, I might agree with. I agree with this one.
All right, let's see. Raul and Little Ferry.
I said Raw, Paul, Raul.
Raul, yeah.
My bad, Raul. I'm illiterate.
Nah, it's all good. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
I was thinking Marcus Camby. I don't know if you said him, but he was big.
I did not say Marcus Camby.
That's close. He was a presence.
Impactful, yeah. I mean,
but better than Julius? Julius is an all-star.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were done with him. But
damn!
Carter in Brooklyn also Raw. Has Marcus
I'm
Camby.
Sorry, Raw. Raul.
Raul. Okay, Carter.
Hey, what's going on? He took my answer. The Camby man. That 99 run, if he wasn't on that floor.
That's one game. That's one year, though.
Yeah, well, but
Camby was actually very good in 2000. And then 2001, he was good, and then had the issues. There was some terrible thing with his family, and it affected him in the playoffs.
Yeah, speak up, Jake. Hey, Jake, I need that money, Jake.
Yeah,
Jake
I was saying. Go ahead, Jake. Yeah, I was saying Antonio McDice.
Dice, man. You stop. See, you're just trying to be funny. Antonio McDice has a nick was like a nick for 10 minutes.
I mean, I see
his first preseason game, he blew out his knee.
I mean, we getting calls about as much as I love. Marcus Camby and, you know, Anthony Mason. I just think that Julius Randle's higher on the list. I don't even know why we even arguing about this.
Well, let's see. John in Westchester has a name from the past. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I don't know if he did the 3 years, but he was on the championship team, and I believe he's a Hall of Famer. Jerry Lucas. I mean,
Jerry Lucas
amazingly impactful player.
Jerry Lucas was absolutely a Hall of Famer, that's for sure. It wasn't his Nick years that made him a Hall of Famer, of course. I mean, he was a great player well before that, but the Knicks had him, and he was three seasons, and he was part of the 73 championship team, which was like the dream team. One of the smartest human beings you'll ever meet, by the way. And, you know, Lucas is somebody that he was – the thing is that he didn't start. He came off the bench, and, like, he didn't put up, like – you know, he averaged, like, 10 points a game. So while he's a great player career-wise – I don't know, you know, and he's part of a championship. I just don't know. Again, do you put him on a top 20? You know, but obviously you recognize the name. Coach Davis. What's up, Coach Davis?
Hey, how y'all doing? How's everything?
Good.
I definitely take umbrage without having my man Stephon X up there on that list. You know, we got to remember back in 2001, he was a Knick All-Star. Him and AI brought fame back to the All-Star game. You understand what I'm saying?
But he wasn't a Knick in 2001. He became a Knick in 2004. And he was not an All-Star as a Knick.
So you're saying he wasn't an All-Star when him and AI
when he played for the Knicks. When he played for the Knicks, he wasn't an All-Star. That was when he was.
He was
with the Nets. Back then.
He was with the Nets, you're right.
Yeah, Nets.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
I know he was in New York, but he was with the Nets.
Well, he was in New Jersey now, Coach. He was in New Jersey. But no, I hear you. I hear you. But like, again, that's what's specific about this is if you're talking about the franchise's history, it's not what the player did for his whole career. Marbury was obviously a great player. He was an all-star and all those things.
Yeah.
But as a Knick – in Knick history, I don't think you can get him in the top 20.
What about Nate Robinson or Z-Bo?
Yeah, again, I love those guys. But come on, man, look at the names we're talking about here.
Nate Robinson won a dunk contest with a Knicks uniform on.
So he should be a top 20 player because he won 2 dunk contests? Because he was Crypto Nate? Now, with this conversation,
nobody,
of course.
Y'all don't want to claim because he got his ass knocked out of the boxing ring.
Now, with this conversation, Bart, we, of course, get callers like Eric in Queens. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Allen,
actually, your honest opinion about Julius Randle.
Uh-huh.
Playing excellent ball other than the turnovers.
Uh-huh.
Let me just ask you, honestly, I know you might not answer it because you work for MSG.
I don't.
But would you?
I work for ESPN now.
You know what I mean.
Well,
you know
I work I mean. For ESPN right now.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Allen. I'll blew
all good.
You up.
All good.
All right. But anyway, would you trade him now, man? this coming summer? Would you? I mean,
for what?
For Jaylen Brown, I would.
Like, you'd have to tell me what for. Like, if you
all
said,
right, let me ask you
I could
this.
Get a star, Jaylen then Brown. I'd have to
Kuzma?
Think about it.
What about Kuzma?
What?
Kyle Kuzma?
Eric. Kyle Kuzma? Eric,
are you drinking
the guy that wears oversized sweaters? Come on, man.
Listen, you guys, listen. You
you're
going to
tell me you'd rather, whoa, no, I don't want it.
Kyle
you answer
Kuzma?
This question. Listen, you would rather have Kyle Kuzma than Julius Randle, who plays every single game, plays 38 minutes, gives you every effort.
Now, if you said Bradley Beal, I might have said, all right.
Because you can't put Bradley Beal on that team and take Randle. You guys got to look at parts that will work.
Yeah, but give me an equal part. You can't tell me to replace my Ferrari with a Camry.
Kyle Kuzma, Eric.
I just said Kuzma, but maybe we could get something else.
Jaylen Brown. If I get Jaylen Brown.
If you're going to talk to me about Jaylen Brown, if I can make a deal and bring in – you know,
that's a superstar.
If you're giving me like a guy who's a stud, you know, like here, if let's say Joel Embiid wants out of Philly, I'm out of here. I don't want to play here anymore. All right. You know, I'm going to give you a really good player. It's like Julius Randle, really good player for a really good player, right? Like that, okay. How about Jimmy Butler wants out of Miami? I'll make that deal. I'll have to include, I'll give you guys Julius Randle.
You got to take Fournier. You got to take Fournier. No, hell no.
But if you're going to tell me a guy that's averaging 25, 10, and 4.
25 and 10.
All-star, all-NBA.
25 and 10.
Guy dropped 57, like just never misses a night, plays every night, and you're going, give me Kyle Kuzma? But I'm the guy at MSG that can't say anything, right? Like, what? Like, come on, guys. Like, I always brag to people that New York is such a great basketball town, and I say we don't talk enough basketball on New York Sports Talk.
Yeah,
that people want it, and we need to talk it more. And it's calls like that make me think maybe I'm wrong.
He lives in New Jersey, though.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he lives in New Jersey.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's just get into Mel Kiper, who has his mock draft, the 3.0 mock draft. And in it, he's got all the quarterbacks going in the top five. It's crazy. But locally, it's interesting because when we get to where the Jets are at 13, he has them taking Broderick Jones, the tackle from Georgia. And the first thing he says, and this is Mel Kiper Jr., is will the Jets actually keep this pick? He says they're going to have to give up something to get quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and it might require a first-round selection.
Yeah, right. Not this year's draft.
You're still not buying that, huh?
Not giving up 13 for a guy I might have 1 year. You crazy? And paying him $50 million? Hell out of here.
Well, Broderick Jones played 19 games at left tackle for Georgia. Did not allow a single sack last season. Still, they look at him as somebody with upside, and again, you want the Jets to get as much depth as possible at the tackle position. So it's one of those things that, you know, honestly, for the Jets, it's like that pick is important. Now, he was on with DiPietro and Rothenberg and did talk about that's the major need the Jets need to address.
I think they want the key. They want that pick. That offensive lineman is so important to Aaron Rodgers, basically. You know, to have success, you need the O-line, and that's a big question mark. Of all the positions on that team, you go to the O-line as the one iffy spot. Everything else looks really good. 13, Broderick Jones, Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State, Anton Harris in Oklahoma, maybe on a trade down from 13. This gives them, if they keep 13 guys, it gives them maneuverability. It could move off of 13 and move down and still get a pretty good tackle. You know, Darnell Wright, the right tackle, I'm going 19. Broderick Jones could drop further than 13 and be there around 20. So the Jets, I think that 13th pick is the critical piece of this puzzle that the Jets just don't want to give up. And I think Green Bay saying, okay, next year's first could be between 25 and 32. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be a high. That's not going to be a 13th pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Packers' point of view on everything, right?
Yeah, but that's what you get when you're talking about a 40-year-old quarterback that you're trading for. That we know, much like the Jets can't go with Zach Wilson, we know that they can't go with Aaron Rodgers. The relationship's broken. So why am I giving you that when I know that you have no other options either? We need each other. We're the perfect match. He wants to play for us, and you don't want him to play for you. So figure it out. 13 is way too rich. I'll look at that as a fleece because you're getting a starter, maybe an instant starter, and I'm getting a guy that I'm only going to have for maybe 366 days at best, if I hope I got him for 760. Nah.
Now, the Giants side of things, they pick at number 25, so further down the board. And I remember we've talked about in previous mock drafts that Quentin Johnston from TCU, the big receiver there, was somebody that they thought could fall to the Giants, but he has him now going 23 to the Vikings. And he felt like that maybe the Vikings were going to go corner and defense, but because they move on from Adam Thielen, that maybe they're looking at, you put Johnston on the other side of Justin Jefferson, you got two big now targets on either side. And so if he's off the board, the Giants, Mel Kiper in his 3.0 mock draft, still has them going for a wide receiver, but this time they go Jordan Addison from USC. And once again, it's like getting more weapons for Daniel Jones on that Giants wide receiver core, which, as we know, you know, Slayton's very good, but, you know, and Shepard gets hurt. But he is, when he's healthy, he's good. Darren Waller's a tight end they'll use as a wide receiver, but to add a young wide receiver, a big target kind of guy, would be something that they try to do in the draft. And again, Mel Kiper on with DiPietro and Rothenberg talking about that.
Well, it depends what you want. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to run, evidently, in his pro day this week. He tested really well at the combine. He didn't play this year much because of the hamstring. He had a great year in 2021. So, yeah, people are waiting to see what that 40 is for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Quentin Johnston is a guy, you watch him physically, so imposing, but he had some drops. He really feels comfortable, Johnston does, body catching. And that can work in college when the windows are huge. In the NFL, you can't do it. So he's going to have to change his mode of operation just a bit. As I say, Addison didn't test great, but how did you play with the pads on? He played really well, and I love Zay Flowers. I mean, Zay Flowers is electric. He's dynamic. He loves to play the game. He's a great, great worker. I ranked them this way, guys. I went Flowers 1, Jackson Smith and Jigba 2, Jordan Addison 3, and Quentin Johnston 4.
So, and again, like when you're looking at his mock and you see all the different players, you know, that position, right, that the Giants could try to target, it just feels like they might have to move up to get the best that they can get at the wide receiver position. But will they is the question, or will they just say, you know what, there's enough talent here. Like, again, Mel has Smith and Jigba going 20 to the Seahawks. Again, this is the wide receiver from Ohio State. And that's once crazy. Again, all that can change after different workouts and whatnot. But Zay Flowers, he's got him at, that's from Boston College, wide receiver, 22 to the Ravens.
Yeah.
As they're always looking for that. And as I mentioned, the Quentin Johnston from TCU. Going to the Vikings at 23. So the Giants, they could either wait and just take Jordan Addison, or they could maybe they could try to find a way to move up in the first round and get, you know, a top-end wide receiver or maybe a top-of-the-class wide receiver to add to their core.
Or the Giants can go and say, you know what, let's go get us a corner. Like, if we can't get one, if we don't want to go, because you already have one, and you already have an expensive cornerback right now and out there, so you may not want to go and pay for a guy like Marcus Peters, even though he may not cost you as much. So you might go a guy like Deontay Banks, get you a nice long 6 foot, 197-pound corner that runs a 4.3. So
even though I think that they can go that way, you talk about that defense was horrible last year. You think within the division, you need a big physical cornerback to kind of go against the, you know, now Amari Cooper and Brandon Cooks. I mean, not Amari Cooper. You got CeeDee Lamb and Cooks.
And Cooks,
you got,
yeah.
You got Antonio, you got A.J. Brown, and you got Devontae Smith, right? You got McLaurin, and you got Samuels. You better have two guys because everybody in your division has two real receivers that can put in work. So corner may be the right way to go and try and swing big and try and go trade for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. It's still a realistic type of thing. Or Mike Evans, as they're rebuilding out there, you know, Mike Evans is reportedly maybe available as well. And also we know with the Rams that the receiver, Allen Robinson, is, you know, they say they're willing to pay some of the money out there for Allen Robinson as well. So that's a real, you know, number one, a guy that's underrated, that's never played with a great quarterback, that could be an option. But, you know, getting a cornerback is hard to do, hard to get. You know, especially you saw the effect of what Sauce had, you saw what Stingley had, you saw what the kid from Seattle had, the effect on the entire team. That may be the best bang for your buck. As this year, there is no slam dunk number one receivers. There's no Jamar Chase. There's no Chris Olave's. There's no Garrett Wilson's out there. That guys that you think you plug right in and they're going to be instant stars and be able to handle that number one receiver type of you know, badge.
And I'll tell you what, that going back to the Jets at the 13 pick, when you see, yeah, I mean, obviously that's somebody. First of all, he has a lot of reps already at left tackle, so that starts. You're not trying to convert a player. He is still considered a project. So it's not like he'll be an immediate impact player. But if you have Dwayne Brown and you have Becton and you have Mitchell, yeah, it's not like you have to rush him to anything. Yeah, you don't have to rush him into anything right away. But, you know, still, it does give you an idea of why the Jets are going to just sit on this pick and just refuse to give it up.
Yeah, because
and this might be just a stare down at this point, Bart. I mean, you're going to reach a point if you're the Packers that, you know, when the draft comes – and they're not willing to give up that pick, but they're saying, well, we'll tell you what, we'll give you our second-round pick. That the Packers might have to make that decision of, all right, we'll take the second-round pick then. Because once the draft passes, the best value is gone.
Yeah, we'll get you a first next year. And here's the thing, right? Like, because it's a shorter first round, it's going to be a lot of first-round talent that falls to the second round. And you don't know, right? Like, Broderick Jones, somebody might like him and take him. And you might end up with Paris Johnson. You don't know the order in which it's going to come because certain schemes like certain players better. You could end up with Peter Skoronski, right? Like who most people think is the best available. But it's going to, we know that it's going to be a run on these guys after we get tied through with the receivers, as we get through with like some of the edge rushers, as we get through with the quarterbacks, and then some of the cornerbacks like, you know, Joey Porter Jr. stuff like that. You know, the Christian Gonzalez guy probably goes to Detroit. You know, corners, and then it's going to be a run maybe on offensive line. But the first offensive tackle may not come off the board to 13, which gives the Jets to pick up the litter.
Well, again, looking at the mock as I'm just checking through it, as you know, it's all quarterbacks in the top five. It's crazy. It's all quarterbacks. Then they finally get to Jalen Carter, who, as you know, like really would be the number one pick. A couple of corners, and then the first tackle is Paris Johnson out of Ohio State. And right. and the Bears had that pick, remember, because they swapped. So that's a smart move on their part. And then there's basically an offensive lineman. He could be a tackler or guard in Skoronski from Northwestern. And he has him going to the Eagles. So after 10 is really when you'll start to see the offensive linemen and a lot of linemen kind of go. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes, you know, the Jets at 13, that's an area of need for them. And that's it. Is lineman really that place? Like running back and lineman is where you try to use the draft to fill your depth, right?
Yep.
Because of the volatility of the position.
Yeah, but you know, lineman's clearly more important than running back. Running back gives you instant success. Lineman could give you 15 years of stability.
Yeah, there's certainly that part as well.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Tobin Anderson, after 1 year at FDU, he will replace Pitino at Iona. One of his assistants staying back, and he will be the head coach now at FDU, so the cycle just certainly continues. Meanwhile, Bart, we just also continue to wait and see when the hell Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Jet, like officially be a Jet, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, we speculating, but it's always that percentage that the deal doesn't get done, and that's what Jet fans are afraid of, that a deal won't get done. Draft compensation, I think you sit on 13. You need 13 to improve your football team. And Joe Douglas is going to have a draft like he had last year. And on the flip side, Joe Shane's going to have to find a way to put up points, because you can't sit up there and ask, you know, Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley to be 85% of your of your offense next year. And also, do they figure out a long-term deal for Saquon Barkley? Because that hard $10 million sitting on the cap is maybe stopping them from being able to be in the running for a guy like Brandon Cooks, who, if Houston was going to take some of their some of that salary, why wasn't the Giants involved in that? If it was only going to cost you $12 million, maybe because you don't have the salary cap flexibility, because you got to get Saquon signed and figured out. And at what point do you ask Leonard Williams to take a pay cut so that you can go out and improve this team? Because you can draft a receiver, but we don't often see receivers come in their first year and try and really give up any productivity. Yeah, Odell Beckham was one of them, but all the other receivers that they brought in, you know, Hakeem Hicks, I think about not Odell Beckham, Kadarius Toney. He didn't he didn't really work out. I know they believe they have Robinson, and they have a nice, but you need a number one. You need an alpha.
Yeah.
And if and if you can get D Hop, that's telling me that you're trying to win right.
Aggressive. Now. Right. Yeah. And you're investing, or at least reinvesting now, in what you just decided to keep around, which is Daniel Jones. You start with that. So you want to put everything you can around it. It's almost like what the Cardinals did, right, with Kyler Murray when they went and got D Hop. It was like, okay, we're all in. We get him. They got A.J. Green. Like, they were trying whatever they could to put as much talent around him. Of course, that didn't work there, but maybe it can work here. ESPN New York, along with our partner London Jewelers, are giving you the chance to be in Cleveland when the boys from the Bronx come to town, including round-trip airfare, two-night hotel stay, and $200 in spending money. Head to London Jewelers near you to enter for your chance to win. You can also go to travelwiththehometeam.com. or enter on the ESPN New York app. It's all brought to you by the engagement experts at London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their seven locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. So when it comes to waiting on Rodgers, so remember Mark Murphy was at some, I think it was at a high school basketball game, right, in the Green Bay area, interviewed by a local TV station, and that's where it really started. He's the one that revealed, like, yeah, we're ready to move on. You know, like, he's the one that said all the things about how, yeah, it's over here. Well, he was at a tech summit at Lambeau Field yesterday. And, of course, questions are being asked about Rodgers and when's that deal getting done. And all he would say is, I'd love to tell you everything you want to know about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but I'm sworn to secrecy not to say anything. Wait, like, so you had a lot to say a couple weeks ago.
Because you know somebody was like, you big dummy, you messed it up. Now Aaron's mad. He's flipped the script on us and made it seem like you didn't want him, we didn't want him, and that's not the narrative we wanted to get out there in case he goes out there and balls out and Jordan Love stinks.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I would think that they have to now be all in on Jordan Love, right? Like they can't now change their mind, you know, like that's it. Like they are moving forward. There is no, he's going to stay with us, we're not making a deal. Like, that's not happening.
And you're paying him to lead. You're paying A-Rod to lead because it does you no benefit to cut him because you still have to carry that salary cap space. So, you know, they're getting rid of him because so that means that they're not really going to really add crazy and spend a lot of money until he falls off the books. And then now you're a team that seemingly has young players, but also has, you know, a cheap quarterback where you can build around him for at least 1 year, because next year he's actually not going to be cheap anymore. He's going to be $22 million if you pick up his fifth-year option.
Yeah. So, again, the waiting game continues, and we'll see how much longer it's going to be. It might take us well into the draft process to a point where, you know, there's that maybe there's a bit of a deadline there until you play this game of chicken, to a point where the Packers then decide that whatever you're offering is better than nothing, because that 13 pick is something they want, but the Jets are making it clear that we're not giving that up. So we'll see how much longer that goes on. K-Show coming up next, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.